From the Opubco studios at Britain and Broadway, you're listening to a News OK podcast.
Welcome to the News OK Pet Show. I'm Brian Dean.
And I'm Brian Sargent.
I'm Jesse Olivares.
And we are joined today by Dr. Randall Lockwood. Dr. Lockwood joined the ASPA in 2005, and he is their Senior Vice President of Anti-Cruelty Field Services. Before he joined the ASPCA, he was Vice President of the Humane Society of the United States, and he has a long history in anti-cruelty efforts, and of course we'd all like to thank him for that. And we're going to talk to him real quick about just some of the efforts they do as far as cruelty and where things are going in you know, the current climate as far as anti-cruelty efforts. And Dr. Lockwood, I guess one of the things I'd ask you first is that there was a big court case that just happened, we talked about as well, in the Supreme Court. And what did you think about this case about videotaping and distributing videotapes of animal cruelty?
Well, I had the pleasure of actually being in the court while the oral arguments were heard, and I did work with our law firm in drafting a friend of the court brief on behalf of the ASPCA. This does involve a case in which a law was passed 10 years ago that outlawed the production of so-called crush videos that depicted, these are fetish videos that depicted small animals being stepped on. But the federal law basically makes it illegal to put into interstate commerce any depiction of animal cruelty for the purpose of financial gain. And the law was used in the prosecution of a man in Virginia for selling dog fighting and pig hunting with dogs videos. And his conviction was overturned by an appellate court that ruled the law was unconstitutional, and it's gone up to the Supreme Court. We found this law really necessary in putting an end to the distribution of these horrible videos, which did pretty much disappear after the law was passed. The use of the law to go after dog fighters, who often do make a side income on selling videos of the fights, I think was a very useful tool in going after dog fighting. So we are very concerned about the case, and certainly hope that if the law in its present form is not upheld, then we'll need to write something new that hopefully will pass muster.
I wonder, one of the things that got mentioned here that I thought was interesting was that the gentleman who was prosecuted in this case got a longer sentence than Michael Vick did for actually participating in running a dogfighting operation. And I'm curious of how much maybe that case has added to the public profile of anti-cruelty efforts, and then if you feel like maybe we need to do something in regards to enforcing those laws more forcefully, given that someone who actually participates in this kind of thing can get such a short sentence.
Well, first of all, the 20-month sentence that Vic got was actually fairly substantial for a first offender, and he was not convicted directly of dog fighting. He was convicted of conspiracy and in promoting a dog fighting enterprise. Unfortunately, the federal law that has very serious penalties for engaging in dog fighting did not go into effect until several weeks after Vic was arrested. So that's one of the reasons why his sentence was shorter than what we saw in the Stevens case. In general, the case has been an eye-opener nationwide, both to dog fighting in general and animal cruelty overall, and I think has really encouraged the reporting and the interest in prosecuting animal cruelty. So we certainly have welcomed that increased law enforcement interest.
Locally, we have been picked as a Mission Orange City by the ASPCA, and we'll be getting a lot of resources from the ASPCA here. And I wonder how much the anti-cruelty plays a role in that. Are they going to be doing any anti-cruelty efforts here, do you know? And in general, what are the kinds of things the ASPCA tries to do as far as fighting cruelty?
Well, I would hope that we will be able to add anti-cruelty efforts to the Mission Orange projects. You know, we really tailor our response in each of the Mission Orange cities to the perceived need, and we are really ramping up our efforts to provide good anti-cruelty training, the development of local task forces to address animal cruelty in general and dog fighting in particular, because one of the things about building a community response is that we recognize that going after animal cruelty is something that, really demands the resources beyond just animal care and control and local humane organizations. It has to involve a variety of groups, including social services, you know, child protection, adult protective services, domestic violence response, and prosecutors, judges, pretty much the whole community. So we hope we certainly can build an anti-cruelty component into the services we provide.
I wonder, what tends to be the biggest challenges with animal cruelty when you start looking at a neighborhood type level, when you look at like what we might face in Oklahoma City, other than maybe a dog fighting type of an issue, what are the kinds of animal cruelty things that we seem to be the biggest problems right now?
Well, certainly within city populations, we do see proliferation of, street fighting, kind of low-level dog fighting, not the organized backwoods dog fighting that we were focusing on in the past. But also, most of the animal cruelty that we see in any community really takes the form, first, of, neglect. You know, failure to provide adequate food, water, medical care, for whatever reason. Sometimes it's lack of resources or lack of interest or lack of knowledge. And that's something that isn't necessarily appropriate for a police response, but that's where public education can do a lot of good and raise the expected standard of care. And probably about 90% of the cruelty cases we see are the simple neglect cases. But also for the more serious intentional cruelty cases, many of those are in the context of family violence, like domestic violence. And it's very important, I think, to raise awareness about that and to both have resources where those kinds of crimes can be reported and overcome resistance to reporting that, perhaps overcoming resistance, if any, to police taking the cases seriously because it's only an animal. Our message has always been that really animal cruelty is family violence, and much is to be gained by taking it seriously in a community.
What can we do? I mean, if you're just living in a neighborhood and trying to keep your eye out, I mean, what are the kinds of things you can do to try to prevent animal cruelty, to try to report it if you think it might be going on?
Well, you know, you said exactly the right thing, and that's keeping an eye out. Probably the first step, as with any kind of law enforcement issue, is, you know, if you see something, say something, and you really know how and where to report it. And in most cases, if your local Humane Society or SPCA does not have the enforcement authority, then you can begin with either your 911 calls or non-emergency calls to police, who hopefully will be taking the cases seriously, because these are more than just animal control cases. The other issue is overcoming the resistance, I think, that we sometimes see in communities, of kind of a no snitch mentality, that if you know that something is going on but you don't really want to get someone in trouble, sometimes really getting something reported, getting knowledge out there about what is going on can ultimately help prevent future violence to not only animals but people as well.
What are the biggest warning signs to look for?
In terms of keeping an eye out for dog fighting and things like that, the typical warning signs are, you know, seeing unusual traffic in an area, seeing large numbers of people with dogs going in and out of an area. That's often one of the warning signs and indicators of animal cruelty, of dog fighting going on. In terms of neglect cases, again, if you see animals that seem to be perpetually chained or out there with inadequate food, water, shelter, that is something that can certainly be reported. You know, often the animals are the most visible victims of what might be going on in a dysfunctional family. The small children may be inside, the battered spouse may not go out in public and may not reveal the injury she might have received, but the dog is out limping in the front yard and doesn't seem to be being taken care of. That's the kind of report that ultimately might lead to getting a family in need the kind of help it needs.
Okay, well, Dr. Lockwood, thank you so much for being with us, and we will keep an eye out for those things and encourage all of our listeners to do so as well. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and Jesse, I think we have some news. Would you like to give us some of our news here?
Here we got in Oregon. Apparently, it's going to be a little harder to go out and to do some poaching and get away with it. Apparently, the state has launched their Fish and Wildlife Department has planted these supposed robotic elk out in different places of the woods. And they're supposed to, supposedly, these elk, these robots, I should say, are able to keep track of, or notify authorities when people shoot at them at night, or if it's out of season. And so far, they say that they've been able to track 90 people have shot at these various robots, and they've issued 143 citations. So if you're in Oregon with a gun looking to shoot animals,
of course, the next step is that we arm the robotic elk, and then they are reprogrammed to protect John Connor.
That's right. That's right. Sarah Connor. Now, here's another thing. Then this is just weird. I don't understand it. A guy in Norway was picked up here recently for trying to smuggle in 24 snakes and geckos. Apparently, he had, when authorities had found a tarantula in his bag, and when they did some more checking, they checked the guy out, and apparently they found, I believe it was a dozen small pythons in little socks taped to his torso, and they found little boxes of where they contained geckos that were taped to his legs.
So he smuggled these in his pants.
Yes, and his... a pants and his torso under his shirt.
Lovely.
So
perhaps he worked for Geico Insurance.
Maybe.
I would make more fun, except that my girlfriend has sold all of those things at one time or another. I've never kept any geckos or snakes in my pants, and I've never had to carry tarantulas in any kind of a bag. I just carry them typically out in a little plastic container, but that is kind of scary.
I could say something, but I'll refrain.
Lovely.
All right, Brian, do you have some tips for us?
I do, and it's kind of following up on the animal cruelty things, and I've compiled a list of signs, both environmental and physical, that animals are being abused. And the first thing people should keep in mind is that animals may appear to be timid or frightened for other reasons other than abuse. So the best way to tell if an animal is being abused is to examine the animal and its surroundings, so don't maybe not always go by how the first reaction is. So some physical signs include a collar being very tight on an animal that causes a neck wound or has become embedded in the animal's neck. Fur infested with fleas, ticks, and other parasites. another tip is inadequate grooming, such as extreme matting of fur, overgrown nails, and a dirty coat. And some other physical signs include confusion or extreme drowsiness and weakness, limping, or the ability to stand or walk normally. And some environmental signs include animals being kept outside in bad weather or don't have proper access to adequate shelter. And animals kept in an area littered with garbage or broken glass or other objects that could harm the animal. And some phone numbers to keep in mind if you have questions or concerns or to report animal cruelty. The first number of the Oklahoma City Animal Welfare Division at 297-3100 and the Oklahoma Humane Society at 343-7057. So those are a couple of numbers to keep in mind. So we'll post those up on the Pet Show blog.
By all means, everyone, keep an eye out. And if you think you see animal cruelty going on, please call one of those numbers. I know they'd be happy to go out there and at least make sure that nothing bad is going on. Well, thank you guys for helping us out today. And yes. Everyone, go out and take care of your pets.